recording here. So this beginning part, if you can just tell us your name and where you were born in English and in your mother language as well, if that's okay. Just that part only.
My name is Shamim Hussain and I was born in Peshawar, Pakistan. Mera naam Shamim Hussain hai aur main Peshawar mein paida hua hoon, Pakistan.
Can you tell us about that era that you grew up on as well then? What was like, what your childhood was like?
My childhood was quite privileged but very restrictive. We had quite a lot of restrictions on us as female, because the society and culture I came from is where male and female are different worlds. There are different rules for them and all that. I had big family, my father and my mother's. But the thing which prevailed in our family was the education. There was no difference between girls or boys for the education. So till the age of 7, I went to a local school wherever my father was appointed. He was a government officer. And after that, when he went to bigger cities, when he was appointed in large cities like Peshawar and Haripur, Abbottabad. So then I went to a mission school. So education for all brothers and girls, sisters, we went to there. The only thing is we never were allowed to go to friends' houses. We were not allowed to go for sleepovers or friends. Any friends who came to our homes came with their mothers. And same with us. If my mother, we have wanted to visit the fam's house, we had to go with elders chaperoned, not on ours. We had our own transport, so that wasn't a problem. And we were allowed to play all games, but within the ladies' side area, ladies' school, girls' schools, we were not allowed to go and mix up with the boys or something at the age of 9 even. So I played netball, I played tennis, I played hockey, I was involved in all sorts of athletics in my childhood. At that time I did not recognize the benefit of them. It was just to prove myself and be in the front I was doing it. Then my father was transferred every 18 months. From one station to other station. So every 18 months I went to a new school. So I experienced quite a lot of different cultures in Pakistan, different societies, different status of people, till I did my matriculation. That is year 10. And after that I went to college. Then I got sent to hostel. 2 years of college I did with science. And naturally, I wasn't a brilliant student, I just mediocre, average, upper second class and lower first class. Never had the, because I was more involved in extracurricular activities, debates and dramas and all that. And then I went to university to do my degree with science, food science. Besides this, I was also, because part of my degree in university, we were assigned to different places to do some social work training, which was a new subject introduced in the degrees, and it was compulsory to do it. Otherwise, the science degrees were not allocated to us. So I went and did it in the hospital, the leading hospital. Intentionally, I want to be a doctor initially, but my grades never came to that level. So I could have gone on to reserve seats, but my father said, no, work hard. If you come, go in the competition. If you've got good grades, you go it. You are not going on any reserve seat. So I then did my BSc. That's why I went to do my degree in university instead of medical school. So in the hospital, I came across people, illnesses, underprivileged people. I came across ladies who, at that time, I realized that ladies have got restrictions to express themselves and all that in certain areas and all that. privileges which were not given to the ladies. I started thinking about others. So when I went to university to do my final degree, MA degree, 65 war broke in between Pakistan and India. So because I had done the social work in hospital, so I went to the CMH, Combined Military Hospital, to do work over there as voluntary worker. And when war ended, I saw an advertisement in a paper, I was sitting in the library doing something, and little advertisement asking for, Pakistan Navy was asking for welfare officers, a lady welfare officer, and they were conducting interviews all over the Pakistan. I just applied for it without asking my father or mother. I just applied because I knew who was going to come to Peshawar to interview me, because we were supposed to be very backward area as far as Punjab is concerned. Mainly everything was done in Punjab and Karachi. So I received a letter, interview letter, and I had to asking me to come to Lahore for the interview. That I couldn't do on my own. That I had to ask my mother and my father. My father at that time was away at a very senior post, and he was away from home. So my mother said, "No way, you're not going anywhere. Just finish your degree and go and join college and teach whatever you want to do. Nothing of the sort." But when I spoke to my father on telephone, then he agreed to it. He told my mother, "Go, let her go to have an experience of the interview. She's never been out of the house." So I went for the interview. And they conducted interview in East Pakistan, West Pakistan. There was only one post in whole of the Navy. And we people who live in mountainous areas, we have got no idea what Navy is. I was very much aware of military, police, Air Force, these people, because they were there were officers in the families and all that. But Navy, I never heard of it. But with my father's permission, one of my sisters, she accompanied me, went to Lahore. That was the first time I ever went out of the house on my own, and no place to, we didn't know where to live even, but we had some family friends. When I went into the office where they were taking my interview, they were sitting people with white uniforms and all gold over there, and they were so big. I really lost it. I said, "My God, where I've come from, and who these people are? I've never seen them before. Big personalities." Anyway, because I could speak five languages, they were interested more in it, and they asked me questions, some about politics, which was just normal education, and defense and all that. And I came home after that, and then I received a letter that I've been selected. I was in the university at that time, and I've got to go for medical. So that, breaking that news to my parents, not only my parents, but their extended family, because my father's family was all in Peshawar. So, and everyone was our boss. So then I wrote a letter to my father that I've got just a few days and I've got to go for my medical checkup, and mom was also with my father at doses. So he said, "Go ahead." And he did not tell anybody in the family, not his brothers, his sisters, or extended family, which were in position of supporting me. So I went for the medical test. Being an athlete, I had faced easy sailing. And then appointment letter came. That was very difficult to tell anyone. Because, and reaction was, "No, our girls don't go out. They don't go out to the other cities to do the jobs." Because we had educated ladies. One of my auntie was in medicine, but they were there in the house, and she did her medicine in a female medical school, and she was looking after the ladies. I was going in a different world, all men. I was the only woman in that, going there, and that was at the age of 20. So But I said, all right, I'm going. I told my uncle, I want to go over there and see what it is. If I can't do it, it's my probationary period, I'll come back. And God bless him, he agreed to it. The ladies were deadly against me. So I went to Karachi, that's south of Pakistan. And then I served 13 years on my own in Pakistan Navy. So I tried my best to get some other ladies in the, at that time, if we can recruit ladies in different departments and all that. They were not listening and do anything. Then there was a war broke out again in between Pakistan and India. It was the 1971 war, which I went through. It was a very difficult period. I saw a lot of destruction over there and destruction. Families disabled, widowed young sailors and officers being blown up in the boats and all that. My own brother-in-law, who is now my brother-in-law, he was captured in East Pakistan and he was reported missing. So I was looking after the families and feeling myself all the pains of the aftermath of the war. That was the day I decided that war is not for anyone. It has to be, there has to be something else. We should educate ourselves to be more politically aware and politically enlightened. But after 13 years, then I left in the 80s. And I got married then. When I left, there was no lady in the Navy. But after that, I don't know, my brother-in-law, when his batch came into the power, because he retired as admiral, so then they introduced ladies in education, in engineering, in medicines they had, but other technical sides of that. Now, mashallah, there are quite a lot of ladies in Pakistan Navy. So I got married and came to UK then. And my husband was a politician over here. He was the first ever Muslim mayor in this country, part of Leonard Barrow Brent, Muslim Asian. So he was a little bit in a high privileged position when I came. And I came from a military background, nothing to do with politics. So that was another readjustment of my life. You know, I've been readjusting my life all my life. So I worked with him. We were in London before. Then when he retired, we came to Newport to live over there. Newport was very quiet, calm, and people very helping, but laid-back people, whereas London was very hectic. So over here, we tried to work because he was a Labour candidate, member, so we worked with the Labour Party. But he did not pick up politics over here. He wanted to retire. Then I wanted to work, so I went to work for GEM because of my languages and my educational background. I worked for them for a few years. Then my husband became very ill and he started developing Alzheimer's. So he was very ill for 15 years. So I did not do anything after that. I was looking after our sole care of him. So he passed away in 2014. After that, then I joined Asia Life to be with them. And it's a very diverse group. I learned a lot from them because I wasn't aware of how much there's underprivileged ladies are and what the females have to go through when they came to this country. I had the advantage of language. I had the advantage of my experience of my job as in the Navy. So I did not face those problems which these ladies or other ladies face. So I joined the group to help wherever I can. Then I lost sight in my, I had developed my macular hole in my eyes and lost sight myself. Then Sight Cymru people helped me. I went through operations and all that. When my sight was froze only in one eye. I've got sight, reading sight only in one eye. So that affected my writing, my vocabulary, all those things which were my, in a way, my strength. I lost all of them because I didn't have any confidence. then on my request, a group was created over here in Newport that was Site Life. So I became a trainer of it, and I'm running that group with my other friends, chair and all this. So that gave me opportunity to meet people who have lost the sight and who don't get any help because nobody's aware of it, that the help is available or something. And also sometimes the people think it's a stigma to be called blind or something like that, and I myself didn't know about it. That's why I lost sight in my right eye, because I just didn't know about a macular hole or that there's anything to do with the any of help is available for us. But later on I came to. So now I'm a member of IG Life, trying my best if I can be of any help to anyone. I've been translating for anyone who asked me, anyone from English to Urdu. And also interpreting for Punjabi, Pashto, all these languages I know. And Site Life, I'm a member of it, and I hope that I can help people. That's my life. Is it enough?
Wow, is it enough? Beyond enough.
Thank you.
Beyond enough. Really, really incredible to hear that journey. And from the moment that you mentioned how you're involved in all of these kind of these sports, to be there and to be present, I think that was also reflected in what started happening for your journey, for your career, and things that you're passionate about and the things that you've ended up kind of going into. So it's just, yeah, amazing to see all those kind of reflections. And I think you opened so many doors as well. From what you were talking about, it felt like you were opening various doors that had never been opened before and never been allowed to open, so to speak. And then it allowed others to walk through that door. And there's so many things I was going to ask, but each time that you were sharing your story, you were answering it. I was just thinking about the ages as well, like how old you were when you went to Lahore for the first time as well. And then you said 13 years you're in that post. What happened with university? Because I know that was the biggest friction, was whether people wanted you to stay in university because you're supposed to be in university, and then you ended up obviously going into this. But what did that feel like for you as well?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to talk about my father, because you know these things. He was involved in jail department. So, and that was for young offenders jails. And he always, at that time I did not understand, but he always insisted upon those boys to go to school in the jail, do this education, and also occupational training he arranged for them. I can safely say that he was the only person who did it. He started it and he kept it wherever he went, whichever post he went, he did it. So he used to, you know, give them incentives when they used to go for their tests or exams. Sometimes they used to come to us. We were living in a big bungalow. They used to come, and he used to ask my mother, when they come, give them the cup of tea and food, because they are going to have another paper tomorrow. So that is called social work, which I came to know when I was in university. At that time, when I was going through at the age of 9, I did not have any clue what it is. And in his tenure, there were 5 people who did their masters from the university, 2 doctors. Prisoners, they came out as 2 doctors. They were given, and you know, for that, he had to send with them guards to the college, in disguise, in white clothes and all that. And same money which he was getting to run the jail, he was managing it for that. And that was here. One should always help the underprivileged. Or not only that, but those who might have lost opportunity because of the circumstances. So that's why I joined Navy as a welfare officer. And also they gave me my degree. I did social work in a hospital, and social work was a new term for us. What did it mean? What was the philosophy? What was the ethics? I had no idea. That I learned through my own job. So that is, yes, when I went to Lahore, I was 20 years old. But before that, I have never traveled anywhere on with family, yes. With families were doing, but never traveled, and nobody thought of it, that my father, being where we come from, what are you doing, he will allow me or my sister to go to Lahore on our own. But because I'm in university, I went to a college and university, it opened doors for the other girls. Those families which were trying to keep their daughters in school, do the school and get them married, they just let the because there were girls' schools, girls' college, and they allowed their daughters to go. Now it's after me. I'm not very much qualified, but after me, the girls are qualified. My God, one of my sisters, she just retired as a head of social services, director of social services in Norway. She was the first woman, non-Norwegian lady. She achieved that. She's gone MPhil and all that. Another sister is a gynecologist. Another school is school teachers. That's my coming out and doing the thing opened the doors for them. And you know, we did not give any importance to the boys because they were getting everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. Only our home was said the way they were not British. They had to do their things themselves. And they had to prove themselves that yes, whatever is spent on them, they are worth it. So, in fact, girls are in more privileged positions in my family than the boys, because they went for army service and air force service and all that. That's a limit. But we girls excelled. So that's, I'm really privileged. But it just goes to my father's positive thinking, his nature, and my mother's cooperation with him. Because my mother used to do the, you know, family things. She never bothered him. And he always was doing his job properly and stressing and doing good for the others. So that is one part of the family which made me by my personality. And I was a tomboyish because I had two younger brothers, and they were my friends. And whenever they got into mischief, they used to say, we didn't do ourselves, Apakul told us to do it. So I was the person who was always punished for that, for their wrongdoing. But that was, I think that was growing up period where we learnt a lot. So as far as you asked, Madhi, that was 20 years of age when I went to, because the same year, I went in May for the interview, and in June I joined the Navy. It was March when I went for the interview, and in June I got the letter to join the Navy. So in August I reported at that time, when war was over and the things were at peace, they called me there. So it was difficult working with men because they were not used to working a girl or woman. And a single woman who comes from Northwest Front, clad in a burqa. After that, when I joined the Navy, then I started wearing white coat or uniform. Before that, I was wearing burqa that covered my face. I learned driving in that. And for me, it should have been very difficult. You know, when you feel that when you are clad in burqa, you are protected. Mm-hmm. When you just take it off and you are wearing just coat, you feel you're not protected. That's the feeling. But going into naval headquarters was the biggest step for me to go there. And you see everybody walking about in their authoritative way. They are very, very fit and all that. And their uniform is very overpowering, especially the uniform officers. Difficult was adjusting over there. And then not feeling that you are not equal to them, because they were trained all over the world, they were experienced people, and then trying to sort out the problem which they did not want to expose, family problems. None of the officers, sailors wanted to know anyone. that they've got family problems. When the ships are out, I used to look after the children's education, their health, their accommodation. I used to provide them. And then I started industrial schools in the colonies. At that time, it was a little one room. They used to come and do something with the, and they go away. When my sister became in charge of it, it is a big industrial home now. And they export to all of the world. And my picture is still there.
Just to kind of bring it all in, why is that important for the future generation, for the next generation to be exposed to certain traditions,
yes,
to be exposed to education, to be exposed to wisdom as well? Why is that a real, like a strong anchor for them going forward?
Because I was thinking we were capable of doing things. Any woman is capable of doing things provided she's given the right education and right atmosphere. B, because Pakistan has got 5 provinces, every province has got their own culture. Northwest Frontier Province is just, they are called racial, they can fight, they can go anywhere, but their ladies should stay home. And luckily I was in Peshawar, but I wasn't in the villages, ladies were not allowed to go to for education or something. They were educated at home, but they were not exposed, like me, to anything, or people from Peshawar, because Peshawar was a city. So these, and then all the education was in Punjab, the central of Pakistan, because that was flat area, and there were 5 rivers running around, and they had everything that God can give to anyone at that land. Education was there, agriculture was there, business was there, even government was there, so they were privileged. I don't say that I've done only. There are many other ladies like me who've done it. We brought our girls to the front, and I very proudly can say that 2 years ago, the first female general in Pakistan, Navy retired. She's from our area. She's first female. At that time, there were 3, and it was none of them. 3 generals at. Lady, female generals in any army in all of the world 3 years ago. So that is it. These girls were born after me when I left it. And my other friends and my colleagues who did, some of them did medicine with me. Some of them, we were not allowed to go for flying. Now my nieces, 2 daughters are pilots, and there are quite a lot of them, and engineers and doctors. There are quite a lot of them. So I think it was important to enlighten the ladies that they have got the capacity. Within their own limits, they can do it. They don't have to break the balls and something. If a mother is educated and she knows what is going on in the world, she can educate her children properly. She can bring up her children. That was more important for me. So I don't know whether I've answered your question or not.
Yes, you have. No. Thank you very much for your story. Thank you for everything that you just shared. Yeah.
I don't know what I've done, but I wasn't ready because there were no questions. No.
You answered every single one of them anyway, and your story really did that. So thank you very much.
Thanks for your time. Thank you very much.
Okay.